Garnana Antwa Garnapatigum Hava Mahekavinka Vinamupamashravastamam Jyeshtarajam Brahmarnam Brahmarnaspada Anashribandhuti Bhiseda Satanam Om Shri Maha Garnapataye Namaha Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvina Vadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandadhami Bhagavad-gite Bhavadveshinim Sarvopanishadogavaha Dugdhagopalanandanaha Parthovatsasudhirbhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahata Yam Brahma Varunendra Rutramarutaha Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi Vedai Sangapadakramopanishadaihi Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha Yasyantam Navidusura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha.
Let's meditate a few minutes and take a few deep breaths. Sitting comfortably and still. When you sit to meditate, preparation is important. So if you take a few minutes of deep breaths or pranayama, or chanting some mantras, it naturally gathers your attention. And while you do it, also assuming the posture, sitting straight, still and relaxed. So the Vedantic meditation, Nididhyasanam, is taking that which I've already heard, to Shravanam, and which I've churned, Mananam. So there isn't a question about it. And I look at things from that angle. I have habitual ways of looking at things. I look at things through the eyes of this individual. But Nididhyasanam, what I've already understood, studied, from the Vedantic perspective, I look at things from that perspective. So when I look at this body, later on in the Gita, then Sri Krishna says, Idam Shariram Kaunteya, this body. This body always has needs, always needs to be taken care of, always changing. So that's this body. This body is dependent. Without the food, without the oxygen, without being taken care of like with exercise, then it goes and has issues, problems. Then I look at antakarana, the mind. The mind itself is a movement. It's a conglomeration of thoughts, thoughts and potential thoughts. Also a constant stream, endless, restless. Maybe here and there is content or at peace, but for a short time. Then I look at myself from the perspective of awareness. I'm conscious, I'm aware. I feel the body, meaning I'm aware of the body. Whatever sensation is there, or no sensation, I'm aware. The fact that I'm aware then is independent of what the body feels like or doesn't feel like. And I'm also aware of the mind, the thoughts, emotions, the mental state. Things come and go in the mind, and I'm aware of the mind. I'm aware of what's going on there. So the fact that I'm aware is independent of the state of the mind. So in Atma, Anatma Viveka, discrimination between I, the conscious being, and the other things I may identify with, I can see I as the conscious being, I'm aware constantly, without any change. Uninterrupted consciousness. The body, though, is constantly changing, and I'm aware of the body. The mind is constantly changing, and I'm aware of the mind. So as the conscious being, then, there's no change. There's no ups and downs. So as the conscious being, there's no desire since there's no lack. Nothing to add to the consciousness or remove. nothing to improve. When I notice I'm conscious, I'm aware, then what do I need? There's no question about needing anything. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So this way, vididhyasanam, the thoughts, I use the thoughts, because what happens, we say the mind is, let's say, is prepared through karma yoga, through meditate, through raja yoga. Then the mind is prepared, more stable mind, more pure mind, then it's used. It's kind of like you take an instrument, you prepare it well, and now you don't use it, you put it aside. So that's why I say Raja Yoga then, you can have a very peaceful state of mind, but then it's still a state of mind. So identify with the state of mind, and when the state of mind goes, then what? Then again, I have to deal with whatever. So it's true, having the mind be more peaceful and more controlled, this is a very good thing. But here, nididhyasanam, then it's used for reflection, for understanding. Because Vedanta is saying the issue is a misunderstanding. So understanding helps to, helps to fix the issue like this. So this way, nididhyasanam, you meditate on, it's viveka, something I understand, I've already understood, and then I look at it from there to make that, looking at it from that angle be more and more clear. Easier to do guided like this, but then slowly over time one can look at it oneself like this. Okay. So let's go back to Gita here. We did the first two verses, I believe, here of the section. So let's read number 55 again. Just a little bit, some more points on it, 55 and 56, which is the last time, and then we'll cover new things as well. So, 55. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Prajahati yada kaman.
Prajahati yada kaman.
Sarvan partha manogatam.
Sarvan partha manogatam.
Atman yeva atmana tushtaha.
Atman yeva atmana tushtaha.
Stita prajnyastado chyate.
Stita prajnyastado chyate.
So the Lord answered Arjuna's question about what is this stita prajnya like. O Arjuna, satisfied in himself, by himself, when one gives up all the desires obtaining in the mind, then he is said to be a person of firm knowledge. So here, atmani evat manatushta. One is content. What is the difference? This one has such clear viveka between I, the conscious being, and the koshas, and what I take myself to be, right? Such viveka. And then vairagya as well, because, okay, I understand I'm not something, so then I also know through the viveka, vairagya is there. I know it, okay. Like, for instance, somebody has some habit, somebody smokes, and then slowly they build up the understanding how it's not good for them, and so they manage to stop, then they have vairagya towards the two, because they know the pleasure, whatever they got from it, they know it, but they also have vairagya towards, because they know how it was addictive towards them and causing trouble to their health. So they have viveka first, they had the discrimination, and they manage to you know, to stop the habit, but then also the dispassion is there. Then the friend is smoking, oh, come, come. No, no, it's okay. You know, you go smoke, I'll talk to you after. It's not for me, I stop. So like this, no, no, come, no, no, it's okay. I really don't need it, like that. So that the Viveka Vairaga towards that. So here then, it's saying, well, the one who has the pure Viveka Vairaga and knows themselves as the conscious being compared to the body-mind complex, this one then will have whatever desire crops at the mind. It didn't say doesn't have desire in the mind, but the desire is non-binding. We talked about last time. A desire comes because the person's used to, they grew up eating a certain food, they're from a certain place, and now somebody's bringing that type of food, let's say. Okay, they don't have a big desire, you know. The desire, oh, they made this nice food, comes to the mind, but then, you know, it'll probably come and go by, it's not binding, because just a mind, a thought. They just, you know, just like they see the object here, the table, they see the body, they see the mind, and they don't identify with. I don't identify with the table, then I don't identify with this, you know, this lump of clay also, right? fancy lump of clay, or with this, you know, with this silly ideas in the mind. So then, not identifying. So, of course, there won't be much desire there anyway, because one feels fulfilled, but some habit has to be in the mind like this. So this is what in this verse, the important point is, why is this one, why is the sthita pragya not caught up in desire? Because of the viveka. It's not, you can't just suppress the desire, okay, I won't have, because without understanding, you won't do it. This is why when people put a rule, okay, you do this, people aren't going to abide by it. But when they understand, then they'll abide by it. Like this is the important thing. Giving the understanding, then people want to. Like, like for instance, we're driving with seatbelt or not. I never wore a seatbelt in the back seat because I never thought it's important. And somebody we know, her brother, is a doctor in the emergency room. And she said when there's a car accident, he knows if the person in the back seat had a seatbelt on or not. I mean, he can tell by the injuries. I said, oh, really? That's it? I don't know. I know the law has the front. I don't think law has the back seat. I'm not sure. Whether law has or not, I wear a seatbelt in the back seat. After knowing that, I wear a seatbelt in the back seat. Because now I know, okay, I didn't know that. So when you know, then it's different. So in this way, I can have some discipline. Maybe I very much like to see a lot of movies, so I have discipline. Okay, I'll just watch, you know, just once a week in this, or weekends, because, you know, when I was a kid, okay, can see cartoons like 1 hour in the morning or 2 hours in the morning on the weekend, that's it. Some discipline. I still want, let's say I want to see more, but, you know, I have a discipline not to. Okay, like this. That's a discipline, it's one thing. But then from understanding, with understanding, then it's different. So this is why the one who knows themselves as the conscious being, why be caught up in this? No discipline needed like this. So this is the important point in this verse. That's why, because atmani eva atmanatmishta, because one is content in themselves by the self. Because when you're just aware, conscious, you're just content in yourself, not from something else. No thought, nothing is needed for it. But then, so because of that, then what is there to, you know, make a big deal out of a run after this? Because then you're full. So what is this? So this is what this verse is pointing out about why are all the desires thrown out? Because there's nothing left to, when he identifies the conscious being, then there's nothing left to desire. Identifies the mind, identifies the body, then the desire is endless. Because no matter what happens, always something more to maintain, some other crisis, something else to take care of. It's endless. So inevitable that there be desire for some things. You know, all positive, good desire too. There's nothing, I'm not talking about just negative desire, for good things too. But still, it can't end otherwise like that. So that's what was here. And then we got to 57 also, last time. No, 56, sorry. Dukkeshwanudvignamanaha.
Sukheshu vigatas praha.
Sukheshu vigatas praha.
Vitaraga bhayakrodha.
Vitaraga bhayakrodha.
Sthitadhir muniruchyate.
Sthitadhir muniruchyate.
One who is free from cravings amidst pleasures, whose mind is unperturbed in troubles, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is said to be a stage of firm knowledge. So the previous verse we said is the Sutta Vakya for this section. It gives the whole thing. Now it expounds on it. And also we said that the points that will be given are the signposts, the indicators. Somebody who's like that is a Sthita Prajna. And then that, for us, for sadhaka, it's what we aspire to, it's our sadhana, aspire to, like this. So we have something to practice, but for them it's just natural like that. So this is what is. So this one is talking about, there's the favorable things come, or pleasurable, and unpleasurable, unfavorable things also come, like this. So that, not perturbed by it, again, through this understanding, you take it from that light of understanding, that from that understanding, yes, that's the world. The world is change. So, you know, big disaster comes. Okay, I understand. Big disaster. Everything that's here is temporary. Will come and will go. What can you do? Mm-hmm. So then, and then it doesn't mean one is callous. The more clear are, the easier to take care. Let's say, you know, there's an accident. You're hurt. Do you want the doctor to come? Or medic to come, oh no, what happened? Oh, I feel so bad. Why did it happen to you in this? Do you want them to do that, or you want them to be clear and say, okay, sir, okay, ma'am, let me check, you know, how are you feeling? Let me check that, you know, let me check what's okay, let me take care of you. Which do you want? Do you want them to be more objective, right? Okay, caring is there too, but the objectivity is the most important for that doctor or medic more than they're doing it from care, but they have to be objective when they're doing it. So being objective, that's the way you can deal with, first of all, can deal with things easier like this, right? But also, that's the side point though. The main thing is understanding everything come and go. Whatever's here now, next moment will be different, it'll change. According to karma, it'll come, it'll go, you know. And if I really work hard to mold it in a certain way, that's great. You can mold things in a certain way. But the world will teach you Vairagya slowly, because whatever you mold, then before long, like what I thought when Trump became president and started just changing everything like crazy, I thought, if Obama doesn't get Vairagya from this, no chance in a few lifetimes to get Vairagya. You build a whole thing in this, somebody comes and the whole thing is decimating all at once, like that. And the person who is, you know, who is trying to defame him so much now is there. So I thought, wow. But in any case, so this way, understanding that everything is going to come, whatever positive will come, it'll go. Negative will come, will go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, negative thing comes, okay, some karma, as a preparation for this, is okay, the negative karma, burning my negative, some bad karma, good, I'm burning bad karma, so I have to go through and get. You know, you'll think something good comes, meaning my punya comes, meaning that'll be gone soon. So, is that good? You'll get, and then it'll be gone. Okay, it'll also be gone a moment later. So in this way, understanding that, in this way. And then, vitaraga bhaya krodha, so because of this understanding, one doesn't have attachment. That's vairagya, because raga, attachment, vitaraga, same as vairagya. Then, if I understand, through understanding, I'm not attached. Because I understand whatever is there now is there temporarily through karma, and then soon it will be different, it will be gone. Whatever it is. So what is there to be attached to? And also, as the conscious being, as sakshi is what we say is the consciousness, the consciousness, it's the subtlest way the consciousness is within the duality, if you want to call it. That I'm aware of everything else. So I'm aware of thoughts, I'm aware of the body, I'm aware of the sensations through the senses, I'm aware of them. So I'm not them because I'm the one who's aware of them, like this. So I understand that I'm untouched by it, just like the space isn't untouched by objects. I, as the conscious being, am not touched by the sensations, by the thoughts in this. So then, what is there to be attached to? Because whatever I attach, it's like the space wanting to hold on to objects. Like, oh, this planet Earth is a very special one. Let me hold on to it. I really like it, you know. But this Mercury is useless. It's just burning hot in this. I don't want to hold on to it. The space can't do that, right? So, same because it's not attached. Through understanding that I'm not attached. So through the understanding, then there won't be the attachment. And not through something else. And from that, if there's no attachment, then why will there be anger? Anger comes because I'm attached to something. I'm attached to something and it's not going how I want or how I expect, then the anger will come up. Same way, I'm attached to something and then, you know, what will happen to a thought comes to my mind, then fear comes up. Like we're fear, okay, what will happen if I die in this? The jnani knows they're not the body in this. Well, for them there is no body. What do you mean by body? It's just sensation and like this. And okay, the body came, somehow the body will go, somehow, but that's why Krishna there later says, idam shariram, this body, not me, the body, or my body, this body. So what does that have to do with me? Why do I have to be worried? So this way, through understanding, then there isn't that fear and everything. Not, so it's not through just some ideas like this. So that's why we thought by this one will be steady in wisdom. So on this point, Swami Paramartha Nandaji, he's the one who this translation we have is from him, very brilliant disciple Swami Dayanandaji. He takes and he categorizes things and gives points very beautifully and clearly. So like the point about the consciousness being not a part, property, product of the body, these few points we had from him, very useful. So he gives some very useful points about this, this section we're studying. He says, okay, how do I practically measure it? Like if you go to the doctor, they'll check your blood pressure, right? They'll check your pulse. They'll check your temperature, some indicators to see where I'm at. How do I measure for myself with this? Because, you know, you'll say, okay, the doctor will say you're not having enough exercise, eat healthier. 6 months you do exercise regularly, have a healthier diet, you go and they'll have, oh yeah, your cholesterol is lower, and your blood pressure is better. There'll be some indicator. So how do I know the indicator for this? So this indicator is for this, very nice. You can take FIR, frequency, intensity, and recovery, intensity, recovery period. So first frequency, how frequently do I get upset, or do I get impatient, or I get depressed, whichever these things, strong emotions catch me. How frequent? So maybe I get angry at things, you know, get really angry every other day, right? But now after I study Gita for a while, I get angry just every third day, whatever. But if I see that it's less often, then that's an indicator that I get the strong emotions that catch me. It could be the anger, it could be strong fear, it could be anxiety, it could be I get depressed, whatever the strong emotions that catch me like this. When I see it's less frequent, then that's an indicator already, and also then I see it's doing something. Okay, doing something positive for me. So that's the first thing, the frequency. Second is the intensity. Right? Before, when I get you get angry, you lose it and yell and everything. Now like the steam comes out, but you don't yell. Okay, so at least that's a little. But, you know, it's less, the intensity less in this way, less strong in emotion. The emotion there, but not as strong, not carrying, not affecting you as much. So that's the second one. And the third one, the recovery period, right? Meaning the amount of time before you get angry and it takes you a few hours to go out of your system to feel normal, but then it takes a shorter time. Instead of taking a few hours, within 15 minutes you get a little angry, this a little upset, then slowly goes away and then it's gone after half hour, 15 minutes, whatever. So this is this frequency and intensity and recovery period is very good measure.
Not like, you know, some people, they every day they'll measure the blood pressure in this. Like my wife has high blood pressure, can be a little high. So the usual cardiologists want to measure a few times a day and this keep look. But our doctor is very good. He said, don't measure it often. Once in a long time, measure. Don't worry about it. I guarantee you won't have any heart attack, anything for 5 years. You're fine. Like this, he knows if you're measuring, you're going to get more worried about it. What are you going to do if you measure regularly? You know, if you're not feeling good, you'll check and then you'll do something about it. Otherwise, why? If you do that, you're going to be worrying about it too much. Right? Like this. Like I have a different thing, you know, I didn't start looking into putting the retirement money till much later, most people. Okay, so now some money goes in for this. There are people like one coworker of mine always checks about, you know, however it is with stocks and this thing. I never check. You know, okay, this year, after 1 year, then this much saving for retirement went up this much or went down this. If I check all the time, how is this going to be useful for me? What is it going to do? Just a headache. What are you going to do about it? You know? So, and also the way I see it like that, you know, let's say, you know, there are people that are cleaning the street. Do you go and check all the time how they're cleaning? No. It's, you know, there are people that are, the fire department is there. They're doing their job. They're always checking. So you hired somebody that is taking care of the for you, let them take care of it. They're experts. They know better than you anyway. So let them do it. Why do you have to have a headache? But once in a while they ask you something about it, okay, discuss this and don't leave it. So that's how I see it like this, because otherwise, too much headache like this. What? Somebody's doing, let them take care. In the end, somebody's taking care of everything also. If you really have trust in Ishvara, you don't have to wear anything, taking care of everything. But we want to take on our own shoulders. But in any case, so this indicator, meaning I don't have to measure it very regularly all the time. Once in a while, you know, you look back. That's why when people come to this thing, I tell them, you know, I suggest 6 months, do it sincerely and see. Because people don't have patience. Study like this sincerely 6 months. If how we're teaching you, that's not talking to you, find a good place where you feel it's your place and start do it regularly 6 months, 1 year, then look and see. Because if you don't, how do you know? Somebody will go to the gym and ask them about exercise, say, yeah, do this and this, but do it regular two months like this and then you'll see. Otherwise, you know, you'll do a few times, it's very hard, muscle ache, you say, forget it. So in this way, so this is obviously if we keep coming, it's doing something obviously, but this is a nice way if you look at it. You can see, oh yeah, you know, like a friend of mine, oh yeah, yeah. He used to have much more regular arguments with wife and this and more. Now he says much easier, like arguments, big arguments don't come up in this. So it's a very good indicator, you know, something's happening like this. Tell you one of the best that I've seen different people. One of the best indicators is this. This is more for the husbands, I found, than for the wives, is that the wife will, after somebody's going to Vedanta class sometime, you know, you're going all this time, this and nothing's, you know, you're still the same thing, come on, nothing's happening. You're still getting upset at this, still that, what are you doing? But then after some time, like, the wife notices some difference. And then like somebody else asks, you go still every weekend? You go to this? Why do this? Why are you wasting your time? The wife will say, you don't know what wonderful thing this is doing. Then you know, okay, it's doing something. Good indicator. I've heard it more for husbands, maybe because I chat with the husband. Maybe it happens wife's side too. I don't know that. I don't know. But yeah, so in any case. But so it's a good thing. This way you can see on yourself. You can look at yourself and see. And actually things that don't change as much are more stubborn. I have to look into and see why is that more stubborn. I have some stronger attachment or idea about that. That's why that one isn't changing as much. You can also think like that. So let's continue now. So number 57, some new ground today. Yasaravatranabisneha.
Yasarvatrani bhi sneha
Tattaprapya shubha shubham.
Tattaprapya shubha shubham.
Nabhinandati na tveshti.
Nabhinandati na tveshti.
Tasya pragya pratishthita.
Tasya pragya pratishthita.
One who is unattached everywhere, neither does he or she rejoice nor hate on facing various favorable and unfavorable situations, that person's knowledge is firm. So again, giving some other, yasarvatra anabhisneha, that unattached everywhere. Right? It's not like only certain situations, certain conditions, because we'll think that under certain conditions like this. One time, Swami Ram Surupanandaji, who's no more, used to see him always in Uttarkashi, and he would come here every year for a long time. So I remember he came, and then we took him to one of the Hindu temples for a talk like this, where somebody arranged it. When we were going, he said, you know, Hindu temples, I don't like to give talks, because people come here for the temple, they're not coming, they don't want to hear a talk in this. Their main thing just to see the god, do some puja in this. So he said, but then he was chatting with us. We go sit in some room they had. We're chatting with him, the two people that we brought him. Then talk time, he goes. He sits there, you know, 150, room for 150 people, whatever. Only like a dozen people are there. He's just same just say chatting with us, nothing different. Tell, oh no, come sit close, everybody, come this, and chat. So there's no difference in just chatting with us, or just this, or if there's many people, no difference. Because we judge according to situation. The situation very much affects us. But the thing is, why should it affect? I let it affect me, we say no because of that. But I blame the situation, but I'm the one who lets it in and affect me, like this. So what happens is, when this happens, then I react to whatever's there. Reaction meaning it's an impulse. An impulse, it's not thought through. You know, like this, somebody does that, I get snap at them, angry, or I get afraid from it. Because it's not an, I just impulsively act like this. So that type of thinking is due to some my preconceived ideas and everything. Somebody might have the opposite thing. Somebody might be more timid, so the opposite, where there is something and yes, you know, I have to say, you know, say no, or have to say no, it has to be like this, but I'm too timid, so I also, that's also like also a kind of impulse, but from the opposite. One is more from the anger perspective, maybe one for the fear perspective, maybe, but it's the same kind of thing. Too much just doing out of impulse, or just out of fear, timidity, not dealing with. Oh, that's also an issue like this. So, but then, on the other hand, that's reacting, but acting, I decide, you know, I see, and then according to what I see as right or correct to do, I do accordingly. Mm-hmm. Then it's not according to, then it's not the reaction. The others are reactions. This is, you know, what you do as you see needed. You know, it doesn't mean it's totally right or this, but you at least you are doing what you see best at that place and time, not by the other things. So that, that way it's not through attachment. Other things can be through attachment. Attachment can be, you know, because I have a very strong idea things should be in a certain way, or because you know, my ego thing, I know better than you know this, or because I, you know, or all these other different things. Where then it's, so this is an indicator of the attachment like this. Where if I'm not attached as it is, okay, that's fine, you know. So this is this, not having the strong sneha, the, you know, I'm very fond of, so it's very fond, so very much attached, I want it to be this way. So this is also a nice indicator like this, in this way. So we have impulsive and timidity and doing action, you know, intelligently like this. And then seeing what's needed and everything. And of course, we can keep weighing and weighing and weighing what's right, and never deal with, and also one isn't putting up with running out like this. We can't just do that forever in this way. So this abhisneha tatat prapya shubha shubham, which whatever came, whatever it is, something that is favorable or non-favorable this way. And that goes to test us, like an obstacle course, you can see it. Obstacle course, when you go to the obstacle course, do you want everything to be very easy like this, or do you want it to be a challenge? Like that. You want it to be some sort of challenge so you can grow when you go to the obstacle course or the gym. You want it to be 5 pounds, I'm going to lift and lift. No, they're going to put 10 pounds. If easy for you, they'll put 15. You want a challenge to do it so you get strong. So in this way, if in the world everything is going very nice and easy and smooth, how are you going to get strong? Like some people, they say, growing up with the silver spoon in the mouth, right? A lot of some people like that grow up and then they, you know, they're not going to be able to deal with anything because everything is exactly in place as it is and whatever. Then what? Then what'll happen? So some resistance needs to be there for growing. So some things in life have to be going to here and there to make us strong in this way. So if it's that way, I see it that way, then it's an opportunity to grow, opportunity to go beyond the box, right? We said to go outside of the box, because any limitation there, still I feel limited still, you know, still some stiffness in the mind still doesn't mean that, you know, still I have my discipline, whatever, but my mind has to be flexible in a way that I don't let it control me like this, in this way. So there's a nice example with this is one time Swami Chirananda Maharaj, the successor of Swami Shivanandaji. So one time he went to somebody's house for bhiksha, and some brahmachari from the ashram came with him. And so they went. Now, of course, most people, when they Mahatma's coming with us, they know what to cook and everything. But these people, they cooked and they put onion and garlic in the food, right? This way. So the brahmachari was a bit taken back, not knowing what to do. Food is there, you know. He was feeling uncomfortable. So Swami Chirananda said to him, "Oh, they made some very tasty food. You know, eat extra today, please have some like this." So to make that he has to learn not to be stiff. Yes. He'll always stick to this very strict diet and everything. But at that day, he has to be a little flexible not to hurt those people feeling this. You know, maybe they make non-veg food, and then I can say, okay, very good, okay, give us from the veg part, not you, the non-veg part we don't have, you can have, but we'll have the other. Could do that also, like this. They're Buddhist monks. They beg whatever, they prefer vegetarian, but whatever's given, they'll take and eat. They say the Buddha did like that too. That they know they prefer, but the people might not be ready for, so whatever they gave, big shot, the prasad they have finished, not, no question asked like this. That's their way to do it. So in order not to be attached this way or that. But so in this way, yes, so some discipline obviously needed, but flexibility, open mind also needed. We can't just do, and the world isn't, it's like, I can't make the whole world just act how I want, right? So as long as I have my how I want the world to stand in a certain order in this, it's then I'll be perturbed in this way. That I wanted to, you know, people want for good things. Oh, the culture is going away. Culture going downhill like this. Who did you create the culture? You made it, right? It's supposed to march how you want. You do your best. If the next generation people want to do it, they'll do it. If not, you live how you think is right. And that's it. What are you? You know, are you the one who's controlling the world how it has to be? No, right? So you're not the boss of everything. So you know, everybody has their freedom to do how they think is right. You can't make them do what you want. It's not going to work that way. So in this way, so if it's see it auspicious, non-auspicious, na abhinandati, nandati, nadveshti, na abhinandati, doesn't get exhilarated, nadveshti, doesn't get, you know, pushed down, become negative or bitter about it, like this. Because also the excitement is also like that. Oh, wow, they're making this food, you know, something like that you remember from where you go, oh, very special. You know, I get so excited. That's also the pendulum. Pendulum goes both ways. Because if it swings one way, it'll swing the other way too. It's people that get very, very excited about things so much, most of them will also get, you know, the depression side too. It'll have, because it'll swing both ways. Might be some rare cases, but in general, it'll have to go both directions, you know, because it can't. So that's why the, that's also, it's also due to attachment. I like this. If I really like this, meaning there's something else that I really don't like. I remember some Bengali person, they like the idea of Sundaram. God is Sundaram. So I said, if you say Sundaram, then meaning there is also the ugly. If there's the beauty, there's also going to be ugly. So they say, well, they could answer this person, well, everything is Sundaram because everything the God behind it. Okay, then it's not the beauty as beauty and ugliness. Then you can see that, but you know, have to be careful, because then if you say this is very beautiful, then what? You know. Then Lord Shiva, as they say, is very Sundaram, but then when there's, you know, like now earthquake Morocco and there's horrible things, you'll say, well, that's not Sundaram, well, that's also his destruction, that's also, he's behind everything, that's also part of his thing, right? And easy for us to say now when it's there, but if the earthquake is here and we're suffering from it, then much harder to say it like this. Much harder to see it than from a distance like that. But then the problems we have, if we see that God is behind everything, we have to see behind this too, right? The blessing comes, oh, that's God's behind it, like this. Now the negative thing comes, oh, and you say, oh God, why you do this? Well, the God's behind it too. Also, why not? Same God is there in this way. So see, is that not having the world control, because otherwise we have the world control us. So there's one important thing with this. What happens also is we say the world. What do we mean by world? We have an idea of the world. But we don't pause and think, oh yeah, scientifically they say blah, 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 whatever. But if we say the world, what do we mean? Well, we say the world, what is the world? We say it's five things. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. It's sounds and touch, sense of touch, and sight, right? Colors, forms, and taste and smell. That's what the world is, right? Because, for instance, if I were blind, then the world would be fourfold, not five like this, right? Somebody like this. That's what it is. We say objects and everything. But an object, I see an object, what is it? It's something that I see and I feel, so because that I use for something. That, you know, the physical part of it is doesn't matter whether physical part is there or not, because it's how I perceive it, perceptual world. We say loka. Loka means a sphere of experience, meaning an area of experience. So that's what I mean by world. I see certain things, so I see and I think it's beautiful or ugly or auspicious or inauspicious. I see like this. I hear something, oh, this is very auspicious, mantra is uplifting. Oh, this is rock music, it's headache to the mind, like this. I hear, and then my mind is labeling it as this or that. This is beautiful taste, and this is not tasty, right? So that's what the world is. Without those, where's the world, right? I add my ideas on top of it, of course. That there's that perspective too, but that is the world. Take those away, what's left of your world? Your ideas of it, but your ideas are just your ideas, they're not objective. Like this. So that's what we say is the world. So meaning, because there's some sensation in hearing, or in the sense of there's some sensation, and that I am conditioned to think of it in a certain way, then I'm disturbed or I'm happy. Very, very, very interesting. Such a simple thing. But because, you know, I'm so trained to connect all the things from the different senses and think of them in a certain way, then the world is this whole thing. Like you say, okay, when I dream, I see this or I hear this and I react like this. The only difference here is that here it's, you know, okay, it's the sensation in the eyes and the dream was just imagined, but then my reaction is the same thing because it's my tendencies. So it's really the tendencies that are just playing around there. Because, you know, without these, what is world? So this is very interesting thing. So one who really looks closely at it sees that's what it is. Sensations. I'm aware of sensations, and then I make a big deal out of it. Like that. Because of, all stems from the, I take myself as a limited being, and then everything else. Where actually, if you take yourself as a limited being from the physical perspective, as a body, I'm aware of the body, and then I'm of sensation, and sensation is the touch, so it includes, you know, pleasurable or painful, hot and cold like this, it includes that, and then I identify with it, instead of I'm aware of it. If I'm aware of it, okay, I'm aware, it's like this or it's like that. But then I identify with, so the aviveka between the conscious being and the body, and then the individual physical being is born, meaning if the body is there like this or not, it's one thing, but that I identify with it, that's the issue. So this is why this one, well, okay, you know, won't be caught up in this stuff in that way. There's a nice, this I never read, but there's a book, New Age book years back, came out, which said, which is called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And then it says it's small, and it's all small stuff. Very, very nice. It's exactly this. We say everything is very big. Let's say now we're old, very old in this, and we know, okay, I don't have much time left. All these things I made a big deal out of, am I going to make a big deal out of it now? Then my kids should have gone to this college, or this, you know, this person, this should have happened, that should have been. It's going to be okay, what to do? But it's actually a good thing to see people that are near death. They know near death. They're going to see the perspective very differently in this way. When I was in our Shivananda Center there a long time ago, the early 90s, there was one fellow who used to stay in our center, and then he had cancer, he was dying from cancer. So last time when he was still cognizant, when I went and saw him, he was saying, look, everybody's just running around, worried about these things. They don't know what's really important. Like this, what's really, really important? No, we don't pay attention to it. We pay attention to all the small stuff, the minor stuff like that. So in any case, let's continue the next one here.
Yada samharate chayam. Yada samharate chayam.
Kurmong kurmongani vasarvashah.
Kurmongani vasarvashah.
Indriyani indriyartepyah.
Indriyani indriyartepyah.
Tasya pragya pratishthita.
Tasya pragya pratishthita.
Moreover, when one completely withdraws the sense organs from the sense objects, just as a tortoise withdraws its limbs, then one's knowledge becomes firm. So here, pointing out about the pratyahara, right? So pratyahara, there's two different ways you can see pratyahara. One is just technical rajayoga way. Technical rajayoga way, you know, you do your meditation something and then the attention isn't going out to the senses. You learn how to withdraw. So it's a technical thing. That's one reason why you do yoga, you feel very good. One of the things that happened is my attention was going out, hearing and seeing and this, and mind is running after those things as well, obviously. But then I withdraw, so I'm not, my mind isn't going out to the things, so I feel very good because, you know, much less movement going on from the mind being pulled here and there from the senses. So that's a technical way that one withdraws, which is perfectly fine. But since it's a technical thing, meaning that, yes, I can have more or less of the ability, but it's just an ability, it's not an understanding, just an ability to do something. Meaning the samskara is still there. So even if I withdraw from the sound in this, still, I like certain sounds or don't like certain sounds, but when my attention goes out to it, then I will, you know, then I'll still want prefer this or prefer that. So this is one pratyahara, you can say, the technical one. But the other thing you can say, pratyahara, is the difference is that I know, can pay attention or not without having to technically. Like there's the sound, I can be disturbed by the sound that's going on, or I can just say, okay, I can learn not to pay attention as much. If you grow up in a, you know, busy place, or extended family, many people in this, then now the second one will be easier, because if we grow up more isolated with more, you know, with more, you know, my own room and getting so much of what I like in this, then it's more difficult because I get more spoiled, you can say, like that. One of the bad things, the modern era like this, people get too spoiled like this. But then you, I learned just to put up, let it come and go. It doesn't, won't disturb me as much. That takes a lot. That's a much stronger one, because then it doesn't matter whether I hear it or not, or see it or not. I can decide whether I will, you know, connect my attention to it or not, like this. So this same with Swami Ram Surupanandaji. In 2008, it was, he had a stroke, and then he was, he was in taken to Ayurvedic hospital in. He was in Bangalore, so I went, I stayed with him for like a month or so there. So then after a little while, he shifted to somebody's house. People took care of the that hospital. So he, they had an interesting house. The house, there was their bedroom, then there was like a big living room type thing, and another room almost as big as this, like two living room type place, and that's it. That's what they had. That's not like bedrooms, different however they had. So they had him sleep in the bedroom. So he'd go to, he'd taken medicine every day, go to sleep. And then I thought, okay, we should turn off the light. People should be quiet. He didn't care. No, 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 don't do whatever you want to do there. Somebody's hearing something, there's noise. I'd be on the computer doing emails to tell his devotees this, the news about him, this. He wouldn't want any of that to stop. Let the noise happen. He didn't care. Somebody who's very not well at stroke, we don't know if he'll live. He didn't care if there's the noise or not, or the light or not, no, no difference. So this is, I thought, is a great example like this. No, you know, that's real pratyahara, that it doesn't matter. Let it happen or not, it doesn't affect.
India trains.
Sorry?
Living in India trains you otherwise also.
Yeah, yeah, yes. No, so some of you grew up in environments that are probably very helpful for this, yeah. Very useful for this. It's a good training like that. Because, and again, how people grow up nowadays and in middle class and this year, that's, people can be, that kid won't be able to survive for a day without their phone, imagine. What kind of a, how crippled somebody becomes from that. It's amazing, like that. One girl, when she was coming here a few times a week, as she was doing her Ranga Puja, Arangetram, with my wife years ago. Then she learned to drive, so she would come with her father here. She'd put on the GPS. She'd say, "You've been driving, you've driven there 100 times already, you know, so many times you drive there. You've driven yourself there a dozen times. Why do you need the GPS for?" Mm-hmm. No, I can't find with that. I think, oh my God, how crippled one becomes. You know, after I kind of know the direction, I don't put it on because I'll become crippled. I won't know my directions anymore. So, yeah, that's a side thing. But this way of, you know, learning not to pay attention, you know, the senses are, so I can use them for something. I can know if something, you know, if there's a problem coming, I can use it for something, but not for it to be the one who's controlling and everything. And the things that are stronger ideas within us can be more difficult. Some things are easier, some things not as easy, too. So, but we have to learn like this, because otherwise we're reacting like this. So this is an important point here. Now this, also talking about the Indriya Nigraha also, that what happens is certain things are disturbing for the mind. There are certain things that are more disturbing for the mind. And maybe, you know, somebody who's, you know, very high up, they can be, it doesn't matter. They can be in those situations, doesn't matter, won't affect them. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who's aspiring, then keeping a little away from those things so the mind stays more peaceful, more settled, be useful for us as aspirants. Meaning, it doesn't mean that they're unavoidable situations, I can't run away from them. But if there are certain things that aren't conducive, then, you know, keeping away, so because it caused trouble for the mind, you know, some people, they'll watch horror movie late at night at this. What is going to do for my mind? People go to some loud party, stay a long, long time late at this. Is that going to be helpful? You know. So, what certain things that are more disturbing for the mind, right? You know, very rajasic food in this, or tamasic, things like this. Okay, that's true, I'm oblivious in this, but still it does have its effect. So in this way, keeping myself away like as much as I can, then as I'm aspiring, then it can be helpful because I have an instrument that then from the senses, they affect the mind. And the mind, if the mind is more foggy or more disturbed, this is how it's more difficult, because in order to reflect on these things, the mind has to be clear. So the, you know, control of senses, like this balance of mind, very much needed, so I can look into these things, like how we meditated now. Somebody doesn't have some background, can't look at it subtly, there's no way it'll speak to them, you know, how am I going to sit? A body and observe, I don't know, my body back is hurting, forget it, I'm not interested, right? Like this, what are you talking about in this way? So that subtlety is needed. So this is, you know, that's why the whole idea of sattvic food and things like this is there, because the food affect the mind, then how am I going to look into it with the mind that's, you know, tamasic or rajasic? So that's why this is helpful. Preparation also in this way, that balance of senses and things in moderation and you know, keeping away from the things that are too much pulling here or there or too much disturbing for me, that, you know, okay, I should keep away from if I can, like this. So this is also what's pointing out here, but saying, you know, but for the master then it's not going to, you know, the mind won't be ruffled by these things anyway, but it doesn't mean that if the mess is unruffled by something, doesn't mean that I'm ready for doing that like this. In that way you can say. This was 58, right? Mm. Yeah. And also one other point you're given, which is nice, is that prevention is easier than curing something afterwards. It's like if somebody, you know, like for instance, if somebody doesn't smoke, if they start smoking, it'll be easier to learn beforehand not to get into it than to stop, right? Somebody, you know, let's say grew up vegetarian, now let me for some time not be vegetarian, this. Then it'll be harder to let go of that than earlier on not getting into. So things like this. Something, once it becomes a habit, it's harder to pull it out. So that's why one has to be aware beforehand when somebody's getting into something, to be aware of it. Do I want that to be part of my life? Because once it's in the mind, it's there. Once you bring it in, becomes habit, then it's harder to get rid of. So we have certain habits, some things that are helpful, some not, and some, yes, I want to slowly learn how to. The decrease over time doesn't mean I can throw everything out at once, you know, slowly. So those, yes, I already have to deal with, but do I want to add more to this? So to be very aware then, as things grow like this, that, you know, whatever habit that would be, I have to be aware as it goes. So that's why, you know, observing my life, observing my tendency, if my tendency is going a direction, wherever it's going, if it's starting to go a direction I don't want to go in that direction, I should earlier on limit it rather than later, because then it's more difficult to get it out, to change things there like that. So already enough there for us to deal with in our own mind. Why do I add more stuff? Like this will cause more trouble in that way. So that's another important point here. So learning to withdraw as needed, when needed, from something, yes. It's not for me. I don't need to add that to it. It's okay. Like this. Can see it like that as well. So, and here, the interesting thing here also is the turtle, it decides I'm going to withdraw. Mm. It engages when it wants to withdraw. So knowing when to withdraw might withdraw from something. That one can do consciously in this. And it doesn't when it's danger. So when I see that something will cause more trouble for the mind, okay, then not. This example might not be the best, but it is something I've heard one spiritual teacher that used to be alive, used to say that since he was a householder, then he could not engage certain things. So when going to movies, because he didn't like to go, he'd say when the more violent things or whatever would come, he would just close his eyes. Maybe he'd say mantras like this to not, in order not to engage with that. He said, if that goes in the mind, it's not good. So that's how he did it, like this one idea in this way. But I thought in that kind of thing, okay, if he already is like this, he can already avoid certain movies. Okay, this movie, it's not for me, because, you know, we'll go to this other movie. This one, you want to go, you go, I won't come, maybe. But, you know, in this way we can decide on our own in that way. So just a few thoughts on this thing. And then, of course, you know, we have to do balance with all these things in balanced way, because we can't just change everything at once, right? We don't change everything once, and we have our responsibility duty all around, so we're not living our own isolated life. But there's so much we can do, you know, as we look into this in this way. So whatever I can't avoid, it's there, and I have to learn how to, you know, deal with it and not have it, not take it in as much, or learn, you know, ways not to have it catch me. And whatever I can avoid that is possible to avoid that I know is, can be disturbing, yes, then I can make the decision not to. You know, it's up to me to decide, not anybody else. Because, you know, we have to do our duty to others, but then other things I don't, you know, it's my choice to do things or not do things like this. Awesome. So let's finish here for today.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Good. So, I'll see you soon.
Also, what I found helpful is one, you know, sticking to one attribute, like honesty, or, you know, so one thing you stick for a longer time, that unleashes many other things also around.
Yeah, that works, because they're all connected, all the qualities are connected. So that's a very good way to do it.